So we're looking at our heavenly home. Amen? It says there, heaven, God's beautiful home. But to me, the bigger message is that that can also be what? Your home. God has a plan. Okay? Now, above all the brokenness of this world. You know, there's some people, they say, you know, if there's God, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I want you to understand that the maximum length of this life is about 100 to 120 years. But God has a plan that is longer than 10,000 times 10,000 years. Amen? So even no matter what you go through in this life, there is something better that God has for you that will not end if you walk with Him. Amen? So the devil never has the last laugh. Amen? The brokenness of this world never has the last laugh. Hallelujah. There is something better that God has reserved for those who love Him. Amen? Say, just say, because I love Jesus, heaven is waiting for me after this life. Amen. All right. So, now, what are we going to do now? We're going to reduce that. All right. Can you read that now? Yeah. So, we read John 14, verse 1 to 6. And when Jesus lived on this earth, you know, he had these disciples and they saw him do miracles. They saw him, you know, turn water into wine. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. Yeah? For 3.5 years, Jesus went about doing what? Doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Yeah? Destroying the works of the devil. Even when they needed food, what did Jesus do? He took 5 loaves and... Is it 5 loaves? And how many fishes? 2 fish. And he multiplied it and fed 5,000. Another time he fed 3,000. Amen? So Jesus was their comforter. He was their provider. He was their healer. He was their savior. They loved Jesus. Amen? And then suddenly Jesus says, I'm going. He said, well, I'm going. So, and they were sad. They were like, why are you going? Where are you going? Amen? It was like as if he just lived there and stayed there forever. Amen? Don't you wish that Jesus lived in your house? Hello? How many of you wish that Jesus lived in your house? Do you know the good news? He doesn't just live in your house. Amen? He lives where? In your heart. Amen? If you've received him, he's not just in your heart, he's inside. Amen? Say, Jesus is with me. He lives within me. Amen? So I ask you, you know, would your life be much better if Jesus lived physically in your heart? It shouldn't be. He's inside. All you need to do is commune with him and you will see more of his power. Amen? Do you believe that Jesus lives within you? It can't be better. So he was going physically and they were not happy. But he said, look, I have to go. He said, why? John 14, 6. He said, because I'm going to what? What's he going to do? Why did Jesus leave? Why did Jesus... Shannon said that. Why did Jesus leave? Yes, why did Jesus leave the world? He came first time. He did good things. He destroyed the works of the devil. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. You know? Why did he have to go? Yes, let's have some answers. Okay, sorry. Let's do that again. Present.
He was going to prepare a place for us.
He was going to prepare a place for true believers. Any other answer? Why did Jesus have to go? Yeah. Jesus had to go because the first time he came as a savior. But he's coming back again as a king. On this earth. Not a new one. This one. Revelations. That's why you should read Revelations. Revelations tells us that he'll come back and reign for 1,000 years on this earth as king. He will take over the world power. But before that time, there will be serious hell let loose on earth because a bad man is coming called the Antichrist. And for 7 years, he will release hell. But then Jesus will come and defeat him and reign. But the first time he came as what? A savior. But more importantly is that he has gone away and he's preparing a place for us true believers. So just to say, Jesus is preparing a good place for me so that when I live this life, I can enter paradise. Hallelujah. Heaven is better than anything you can dream of on earth. It's better than your holiday. It's better than your, you know, living by the seaside. What's your dream? What's your dream home? Anybody has a dream home? What's your dream home? Anybody? What's your dream home? Like, a dream or something? Just in, like, you know, best wishes, like, right, your dream home.
Right on the beach.
Right on the beach! In fact, why don't we even make it right in the center of the ocean, you know? You know, there's some hotels on ships that is on the seaside, so it's on the water, and the hotel is like in a ship, and then people go and rent and live there, you know? Have you ever heard of this? No, not just, apart from cruise. Cruise is traveling, but this one is a stationary hotel, but it's on the water, and people, you know, but yeah, it's functioning fully like an hotel, you know? So, anybody has another dream home? Any dream home that is even from living by the seaside?
Paradise.
Paradise. What is paradise?
Like
the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
Yes. I've noticed one thing about we humans. No matter all the technology, no matter all the gadgets, no matter all the clothes, when it comes to our best dreams, it still connects back to nature, isn't it? You want to be by the seaside. You want to live in the nice countryside, a nice garden. You want to play with animals, you know. And you want everything peaceful. You know, so during summer, I go to university, and the young people, they like to lie down on the grass. It doesn't matter what has happened to that grass before. They lie down there, half naked, receiving all the sunshine. We are made. It shows us what we are made for, you know. All the technology in this world cannot, you know, satisfy your soul. Yeah? God created you to connect back with nature. Amen? And so the perfect paradise is a place where you're connecting. Amen? And the thing I want to share with you today is that the final destination of a Christian is not just up there. That this is temporary. Jesus is still preparing. When Jesus will finish preparing is when he comes back. He's ready. And that's why when Jesus comes back, the first thing he will do is to take believers. Because the only reason why he's not taking them now is because he's preparing. Are you with me? But when he takes us up, he will bring us back down. And we will live in paradise. For that's why I tell you, there's still a physical life you will live on this earth. But that life, you will live it in a new body. And you will live it in a perfect world. And it will not end. Hallelujah. It will not what? End. So those people who have died and are in heaven right now, they're just resting. That's not their final destination. They are coming. We are coming to live again. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the... And the lie. He who believes in me shall never die. You see that? He said, he who believes in me shall never what? Die. Hallelujah. So let's move on. Thank you for helping me with that. Where was my... Yeah. So we know that he's building that place. And we know that when Jesus died, he left them, let them do their thing. When Jesus died, he rose again. And how did Jesus go to heaven? Anybody remind me how Jesus went to heaven? Kids, how did Jesus go to heaven after rising from the dead? How did he go to heaven? Was he buried? Or how did Jesus go to heaven after dying and rising from the dead? Yes? Go for it.
He was in a tomb and then after one day then he rose up.
Yes, he rose again, we know. And when he rose, he showed himself to the disciples. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, put his hand in the hands and feet. Then after 40 days after he rose, he went to heaven. How did he go to heaven? Give someone else.
He gathered his disciples and he rose.
Come and demonstrate how Jesus rose to heaven. Come over. How did Jesus rise to heaven? Come over. Come on. Yeah, come on. Don't be shy. Come, quick. How did Jesus go to heaven? He just levitated. He didn't fly to heaven. He ascended. Amen? And that tells us without any doubt where heaven is. Heaven is up. Amen? And where is hell?
Down.
It's down. Amen? You see that? He ascended into heaven. Today I asked Kevin before the service. After his Bible reading, this must be this one. I'll check it up. I won't use that again. After his Bible reading, I told him that Jesus rose to heaven, but said that he rose from the dead. But he said Lazarus also rose from the dead, isn't it? So what is the difference? Let me ask adults now. What is the difference between Lazarus rising from the dead and Jesus rising from the dead? Because we said Jesus is the only way to heaven. And one of the reasons is that he's the only one that rose from the dead. But Lazarus also rose from the dead. So what's the difference? Someone, an adult, I want adults. Jesus rose from the dead. Yes? Lazarus also rose from the dead. What is the difference? Just a minute. Let me go this corner.
Lazarus rose from the dead, but he still died afterwards.
Lazarus rose from the dead, but he still died afterwards. Yes?
But Jesus did not die.
Okay, good. Do you agree that that's a good answer? Now, question. Why? Why did Lazarus die again, but Jesus did not die again after rising? Both rose from the dead. One died again, one didn't. Why? What was different between them?
When Lazarus rose from the dead, he was still in the mortal body.
When Lazarus rose from the dead, he was raised back to a mortal body. But yeah, a perishing, a body that could still die.
Yeah.
His life was just extended.
When Jesus rose from the dead, he was in the body that was transformed.
He was risen in a transformed celestial body. That's what the resurrected body. And that's what will happen at the rapture. At the rapture, you know, I told you I'm not planning to die. I mean it. I'm planning to be what? Rapture. And I'm looking for, you know, some people when they hear rapture, they will start praying and fasting. They can't sleep. Me, I'm looking forward to be raptured. Amen? The reason why you are doing like that is that you know that you are not doing something right. And the best way, don't wait for last minute. Say to yourself, I'm not lastminute.com. Start living right now. You don't need to be waiting. Hallelujah. Because what Jesus says is that the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night, but only to those who are not watching. To those who are watching, he's not a thief in the night. I'm looking forward to be raptured every moment. And I'm not planning to die. I want to be raptured. Now, the difference, what happens at rapture is not just to be taken away. You get a new body. Say, I will get a new body. And I have this idea that body you get is your youngest state. Your full-grown youngest state. No disability, no brokenness, no weakness, no sickness, no disease. And it will not perish. It's an imperishable body. So Jesus did not just rise from dead. He was resurrected. Yeah? We're talking about the resurrection of the saints. He's the first. And we will follow after very soon at the rapture. Jesus says, I'm not planning to die. I'm planning and looking forward to be raptured. And I will get a new body, which can never die anymore. Amen? Okay, I'll leave that with you. I'll come back to you. So let's move on. So now the question is this. What about when Christians die today? Because, you know, God, you know, everything has been different, but death is the last enemy. People still die. There's a time coming when people will never die again. You know, when you get a new body, you can never die again. But people still die. So what happens if somebody dies and is not a Christian? Where do they go to? And if somebody dies and they were a true Christian, where do they go to? Let's have some answers. I've asked some things said to me before. I want to explore them. Yes? Anybody who dies today and is not a Christian, where did they go to? And what can we do about it? And anyone who dies and is a Christian, where do they go to? And what can be done about it? Yes, children first. Sharon?
They go straight to Jesus.
Which of them? The Christian. Yeah? And where is Jesus? In heaven. So when a Christian dies, they go straight to Jesus. There's some other answers. You can disagree. I don't mind.
If somebody is not Christian, they go straight to hell.
Okay, if somebody dies and they were not true believers, they go down to hell. Yes, any other answers? I'd like to explore some other answers. Or questions. You can ask me questions. Ask me a question. Ask me a question.
A person who is not a Christian who dies, don't they go to a waiting area in hell?
Okay. What are they waiting for? Yes, it's not a bad answer. Let's explore it. What are they waiting for? I want to know.
What can be done about it?
Yes, what can be done? Can anything be done?
But if they're in hell, then nothing can be done about it.
Yes, so what about what's the waiting area for? Waiting era seems to say, you know, Okay, let's explain that. Yes, any other? I want any question. It's not a bad answer. It's a good answer. We're just exploring it. Yes.
So when Christians die,
they
go to paradise.
They go straight to paradise, which is in heaven right now.
In heaven. Yeah.
It's coming down later.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when non-Christians die, they go to hell, awaiting judgment.
They go to hell. Stephen, are you listening? Awaiting. So it's a waiting area, but they are waiting what?
Judgment.
Or final judgment. Let me just quickly explain that to you. You see, the kingdom of God is not like the human kingdom. So for example, it's not judgment. It's not like you're going to go to God and then you defend yourself. And he will say, why shouldn't I, should I send you to heaven or hell? No. In fact, actually, if you read Revelations, God does not judge the unbeliever and the believer together. They are in separate judgments. Amen? There's the judgment for the believers. Yeah? And it's at least 1,000 years before the judgment for unbelievers. Okay? And in God's judgment, it's not a judgment for determining whether you go to heaven or hell. The moment you die, Bible says it's appointed to men to die once. And after that, the judgment is immediate. The reason is this. God is not lacking evidence. He knows everything. Hallelujah. When a person dies, their eternal destination is settled. There's no argument. Now, when he calls them to court, the Bible says the books were open. Yeah? It's sentencing. You know, there's a difference between when the jury says someone is guilty, then they now say, okay, come back later for your sentence. Yeah? The judgment we read in the Bible for the Christians is about their rewards. And the judgment we read about the unbelievers is about their sentence. But destination is determined when a person dies. And it can never, never, ever be reversed. Yes, question. We need to understand that very clearly.
The Bible says that Jesus is our advocate. And the Bible also mentions that devil is the accuser of brethren. Yes. And I do know that, as was the case of Joshua, that Jesus defended Joshua. So, is that going to be like an attorney that's also going to defend us in times of judgment?
Thank you very much. Jesus is the advocate right now. Amen. The Bible says, if any man sin, that's I'm reading from 1 John, we have an advocate with the Father. Where do you sin? On earth. He's an advocate. He stands there. Yeah? His blood is there. Yeah? That's why we can receive. You know, Bible says if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And even before we come to the point of confessing, we still receive mercy because we have an advocate. You know why he's an advocate, the Father? He was the one that gave the sacrifice. So being there, just imagine this. The person that paid the price is right beside the Father. So the Father sees him all the time on your behalf. So that is the basis for the restriction or the delay of judgment. In this life, it's not final judgment, it's the one in this life. Because actually, every sin can attract a judgment right now. So, you know, either it will be delayed or it will be, you know, you have extended mercy. He's an advocate now. Amen? But actually, when we die as Christians, Jesus Christ himself is the judge. He's there. But say we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are standing before Christ. He will judge us as believers. And the judging is our works. If you didn't do anything for Christ, you get zero reward. You will still be in heaven. Just that you will be on the ground floor. Ground floor. You will clean all the floor. You say yes, sir. To everybody. I know that you don't believe it, but I tell you that's true. God says he will reward them with crowns. What does crown represent? Authority, honor, beauty, glory. Amen? So if you do nothing, it doesn't matter, you might have been the richest person on earth. But in heaven, if you did nothing for the kingdom, you just go there. You'll be thanking God forever. Ah, thank God I made it. Or you'll be on ground floor. You understand? But that's for believers. And those who have given their best to the Lord, you don't have to be a pastor to give your best anyway. You just have to be faithful in whatever God is telling you to do. They will get the highest place of honor. But they will still make it because they believed in Christ. But the unbeliever has no place. You see, in Revelation, it doesn't tell them to come and defend their case. He just opened the books to show them what they did so that they will be sentenced accordingly. Okay? One more thing to say is that the hell right now is a waiting area. It's not final destination. Because final destination of the unbeliever is the lake of fire, which I believe that is not in this planet. Because the Bible calls it outer darkness. Amen? So, right now, they are not yet in lake of fire. They are in torment. Because they know that they are lost. But it's not the final destination. Do you understand? But they can't change it. It's appointed to men to die once. And after that, what? And that judgment is immediate. I doesn't explain that to you. It's immediate. For the believer to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Immediately. And for the unbeliever, they are lost. So, pray. Say, repeat after me. Say, in Jesus' name, everybody I know, everybody I love, who are still alive, I will commit to praying and reaching out to them. None of them will go to hell. In Jesus' name. You see, that's why you cannot be like, I don't care. You have to care. Amen? Okay, let's just move fast. We have just 2 minutes. We're going to finish. I told you we have to. So, Yemi, why are you looking reflective? Amen. I just wanted to, let me finish on this note and show you the final destination of the believers. This is in Revelation 21 and 22. If you have time, take time to read it. This is the city that Jesus Christ is preparing for the believers. He's doing it right now. And the Bible says, this is how Revelation finished, that this city will come down to earth. It gives the dimensions. I calculated dimensions. It's about the size of North America. But that's not the only thing. It's multi-layered. I told you there's ground floor. Hello? In the New Jerusalem, this is the only city called the New Jerusalem, there's ground floor. And that's where some people will ever be. And they say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in few. I will put you over these many cities. Amen? So there's multi-layered. The city is made of what? Gold. And the walls are made of jasper, emerald. The streets are made of gold. There's a river of life that flows from the throne of God. The tree of life is there. Yeah, you can eat it as much as you like. Ah, one more thing I need to show before we finish in the new kingdom. This is the part I like. Where are those who love living by the beach? This is the one I want to show. Where is it? Just a moment. I need to find it. Then I'll finish that message. Oh, it was forward. Ah, I like this one. Amen. In the final kingdom, where God will wipe away all the mess of this earth. That's good news. This earth will not remain like this forever. It will wipe off the mess. It will make a new one. Amen? It will restore the animals. You see, before Adam sinned, the lion was not a wild animal. It was eating grass. Amen? In the kingdom, the animals will eat, Revelation says it, all the animals will eat what? Grass. And you'll be able to play with them. Perfect part. Lion will still retain his power. But it'll be tame. Not wild. Amen? It'll be a perfect kingdom. Okay? You'll be at peace with nature, at peace with the plants, at peace with the animals, at peace with each other, and at peace with God. Amen? One more thing to show you as we finish is that in heaven, there are some things that you never find. What will you not find in heaven? Let's start some answers as we finish. Now the snake will be there. You see, the snake was not created as an evil animal. The devil just used it. Although, by the way, Bible says that the judgment on the snakes remains forever. It will continue to eat, go on his belly. That tells us that it was not on his belly. Sometimes I think that there was something about the snake being on his feet that helped that temptation. And that's why God had to judge it. Anyway, back to what we're saying. There are some things you never find in heaven. Otherwise, it will no longer be heaven. What will you never find in heaven? Tell us. Yes, no crying, no weeping. What will you not find in heaven? Pain? Yes, yeah. I mean, look at the screen. There's some things you will not find. No fighting, thank you. Yes. What will you not find in heaven? No? No? No looting? No anger? No argument? No demon. Yes, no demon. In fact, the demons are the first set after Antichrist and false prophet. Devil and demons. Yes. Yes. No deception. No sickness. No. No bribing. No more death. Yes. No witches. No witchcraft. No immorality. Amen. Let me close on this note. Now you can see the connection that the reason why the world is broken is because of sin. And that's why there can be no heaven with sinners. Amen? And the only way you can escape sin is to receive the Savior. Because you cannot save yourself. Amen? We need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Amen? And in heaven we will be perfected. We will lose the ability to sin. Because we chose the Savior. Amen? It was very important that God have to remove all sinners from heaven. Otherwise they will corrupt the place. Are you with me? Yeah? And so, we have an eternal home. And that's why I want to finish on this note, that no matter what you face in life, God has a greater and better plan for you. Amen? The believer is never hopeless. Even if there are some things in this life that didn't go your way, the believer is never hopeless. What is coming for you is much longer than the length of this life. Much wider. Much bigger. Amen? Much deeper. Oh, imagine somebody suffered for 100 years, but they made heaven. They will enjoy for millions of years. Amen? You see, the millions of years that evolution and science claim, they are not true. But there's a million of years that is true. Eternity. And that's for the believer. Let's pray. Let's pray. Time is gone. Let's just pray. I don't know what God has taught you today. I believe that in all what we say, you've learned one or two things. And that's okay for me. It was a short sermon. Just thank God that you have the opportunity to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is the most important thing, really. We eventually have to know what is important. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So, if you have found the way, that's treasure. If you have found the truth, that is what? Treasure. If you have found the life, that is what? Treasure. So, why don't you just thank God and say, thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to save me. Thank you that I'm a believer. I want you to celebrate it. It's not something like, you know, you won't celebrate because you got, you know, extra 1,000 pounds in your account. That's not as much as what you've received. You have received life. You have hope of paradise forever. Thank God. Say, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved, that I'm a believer, that I believe in Jesus, that Jesus is my Lord, that he's my King, that I'm living for Jesus, that I know that in this life I have hope, but in the life to come I have even greater hope. Heaven is my home, and I thank you because I will make it to heaven. I will not fall by the wayside. I will not draw back from the faith. I will not backslide. I will remain in Christ until I enter heaven. Another thing in heaven is that all the saints that have died before, there will be reunion. There will be reunion. If you know somebody, you've lost somebody, they are believers, you are going to meet again. You are going to meet again. So just thank him. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for that promise of the heavenly home. Thank you for the paradise on earth that we all partake in. Thank you because eventually there will be peace. The one that God brings in this world. To you be all the glory. For in Jesus' name we pray.